You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Turkey, dominating Asia Minor. Turkey, the remains of the vast Ottoman Empire once upon a time, 100 years gone, except I welcome Sinan Chidi of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, who's my guide on the very powerful and ambitious Mr. Erdogan, the now president, 23 years in power in Ankara and Istanbul for Turkey, and raising his sights on the whole of the former Ottoman Empire. It's called Neo-Ottomanism. What does it look like? Well, we're going to look at a piece of it right now. Sinan, a very good evening to you. You've recently posted at Haaretz, which is a very high-end newspaper in Tel Aviv, that there is suggestion that the MIT, that State Security of Turkey, has been active most recently in Israel in a deadly fashion. This is the suggestion that I had not read before. Did the Mossad, did Shin Bet, did they take this all seriously, this suggestion? Good evening to you.
Hi, John. Good evening, and good to be back. Yes, this refers to allegations or new reporting by Haaretz and other Israeli outlets suggesting that the Israeli security forces or authorities destroyed Turkish eavesdropping devices somewhere outside of Damascus recently. And as a result of that, this was kind of somewhat embarrassing to Turkey. But despite that story, this has been contested by the Turks, suggesting that it wasn't actually their sensitive listening equipment, but it was actually Israeli listening equipment, which was compromised by Turks. And it was as a result of that which the Israelis took military action, because they did not want the Turks or anyone else, for that matter, listening or finding out sensitive material or information that was contained in those listening devices. But we're not exactly sure, because as you might appreciate, these are all clandestine sort of operations. But what it does signal is this ever and continuingly growing standoff between Israel and Turkey inside of Syria, and this brinksmanship that continues, which some obviously fear is possibly that could result in armed conflict, because we see multiple sort of flashpoints between these two state actors in foreign soil, which worries a lot of analysts across the world.
Does it suit Mr. Erdogan to taunt Israel but not engage? What do we know about the scale of his ambition?
Does it suit his needs? Sure. I think Erdogan makes a lot of hay out of continuously vilifying Israel, because as the leader of a Muslim country, Erdogan likes to sort of portray himself as the sort of the protector of the faithful, the Ummah, the Muslim world. He's been sort of escalating rhetoric, vilifying rhetoric against Israel, not just since the beginning of the war in Gaza in the last 2 years, but he's been basically doing this since the late 2000s, beginning in 2008, when he called Shimon Peres and the State of Israel a bunch of baby killers. That's a direct quote from him, by the way. And this obviously sorts of, you know, that's always elevated Erdogan's profile. And that has been reciprocated by the Israeli sort of government, where, you know, the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who's recently sort of shot back at Erdogan, saying, well, that's rich coming. Those accusations are rich coming from the head of a country which is responsible for committing the Armenian genocide, which is something that the you know, the Israeli state has never sort of accused Turkey of before. So the war of words sort of escalates the sort of rhetorical language. And what that does, I think, is it polarizes both countries' citizenry against each other. So if there was ever armed conflict between the two countries, what you're going to see is, you know, the president of Turkey and the prime minister of Israel is probably going to sort of look to those domestic constituencies to shore up domestic support for those kind of war efforts. And again, I think that's not necessarily a healthy sign, but I think they're building up domestic constituencies. In Erdogan's case, I think that's, it's all, there's also an ancillary role for why he vilifies Israel. It's not because he genuinely, I think, you know, has this burning desire to sort of go after defending Palestinians. But at home, Erdogan's trying to essentially deflect any attention away from, you know, domestic concerns that sort of should occupy in the minds of Turkish citizens, such as a disastrous economy and a badly run country by Erdogan. So vilifying Israel is just one component of that messaging.
I want to understand how far Turkey might go in a confrontation. You've published in Haaretz, the Shin Bet Security Service announced last week that it thwarted a Turkey-based Hamas's cell plot to assassinate a member of the cabinet, Ben-Gvir. Ankara denied, yes, but the revelation raised an explosive question. You ask in your Haaretz piece, could Turkey have a hand in helping Hamas's assassinated Israeli minister? That means, when you say Turkey, that means MIT. Is there an answer to that, Sinan?
So, look, let's look at it the other way around. The Hamas cell, which allegedly was going to carry out an assassination attempt on an Israeli cabinet official, that originated from Turkey, according to Shin Bet, the Israelis' internal security service, which obviously they have no cause to lie about that. They foiled an attack. If that attack had been successful and an Israeli cabinet official had been assassinated and they had strong evidence to suggest that was coordinated on Turkish soil, there's a reasonable argument to be made there. I'm no lawyer, but there is a reasonable argument to be made there that that's an act of war, right? And when you ask the question, how committed is Erdogan to this? He seems pretty darn committed in the sense that he's really pushing a lot of boundaries beyond rhetoric. And that's just the latest one, by the way. The Israeli security service, Shin Bet, has foiled other terrorist attacks inside of Israel from Hamas cells in the past 2 years that have attempted to carry out, and in some cases have carried out, terrorist attacks inside of Israel, again from cells that have originated out of Turkey. So Hamas is not just domiciled outside of Gaza in places like Qatar. It is also institutionally organized inside of Turkey. And, you know, Turkey's made no apology or pretends to hide this fact. And so it may very well be the case that, you know, we do not know the intentions or the capabilities of the Israeli government after the Qatari strike. What if they decide that they've had enough of Turkey, you know, harboring and sheltering Hamas, and they decide to take military action against, you know, Hamas leaders and Hamas organizations inside of Turkey because they fear, you know, that there's going to be another attack that even, you know, takes on another Israeli cabinet official, if not the head of government or the head of state itself. I mean, I can't claim to speak on behalf of that, on behalf of their worries, but those questions are there in the minds of decision makers.
The ambition of Mr. Erdogan must also take into account an article you published most recently about Turkey and the Mediterranean, a 2019 maritime pact that expands Turkey's claims into the Mediterranean. I've known for some time that Turkey's been active in what used to be Libya. Also, I've heard reports repeatedly from your colleagues at FTD of Turkish military or Turkish intelligence active in Africa, West Africa and East Africa. In other words, hands everywhere. Is this part of Erdogan's thinking that we've got to involve ourselves in the, at least the decision-making by the leaders of the former Ottoman Empire, if not the takeover of the land itself?
Hard to answer, but what I can speak somewhat more intelligently about is, you know, Turkish footprints in Africa in terms of military basing and military operations as well as intelligence operations. So what you are seeing, obviously, is Turkish forward military basing in countries such as, obviously, the biggest one that we're seeing is in Somalia. Turkey has an operating military base inside of Somalia, which is on the Horn of Africa, basically very close to Israel, right? And if you listen to the Israelis, but if also if you listen to countries such as this, you know, Republic of Cyprus, as well as Greece, they will tell you that military base in Somalia is being forward deployed with advanced weaponry such as Turkish drones, Turkish fighter aircraft, which are within striking distance of Israeli, major population centers. And it's just another point of triangulation for the Turkish military if it becomes necessary that could target Israel. And just in the weeks gone, at various trade exhibitions, defense exhibitions, Turkey has showcased some new offensive capabilities, such as hypersonic missiles, or they claim to be hypersonic missiles, as well as bunker buster bombs that can be launched from F-16s, saying, look, we can launch these from multiple points, both from Turkish soil, but also from F-16s, but also on bases like Somalia, right? And Turkey also has a military base in Qatar, too. And the Israeli perspective, as well as the Cypriot and the Greek perspective, is, look, the Turks are basically militarily poised to essentially dominate large swaths of the Mediterranean, as well as, from the Israeli perspective, dominate the Middle East, not just from Turkey's soil, but from the seas, as well as forward basing. And so they are positioning these bases with advanced weaponry. And also, in addition to Somalia, Turkey also has a military bases inside of northern Cyprus, which it's occupied since 1974. And those bases are also full of, not in addition to about 30,000 troops, again, advanced drone capabilities as well as fighter planes, and also within less than 100 kilometers of the Israeli coast, as well as Greek island chains. So, all these countries raise these concerns, but it largely has fallen on deaf ears in the Western Hemisphere so far.
I've heard reports for some time that I didn't make sense of until I read your article of Turkey sending advanced weapon systems into northern Cyprus, or Turkey producing very sophisticated drones. The Russians are using some of them, and Turkey pressing its defense industry. All of that has been sort of around the edges. I hadn't put it all together. Does the Turkish military operate as a state within a state the way in some other countries? Iran, for example, is that the model?
Not at all. I mean, in some respects, not at all. Turkey's doing this very openly. They're not exactly making a secret of it. They're saying, look, we have a very strong national defense industry, industrial defense base. That it's top heavy in the private sector. There is an element of the state sector involved in this, but major Turkish defense contractors, ranging from shipbuilders to drone manufacturers to armored personnel carrier manufacturers, whatever you want, they're building bunker busters, missiles, hypersonic missiles, whatever you want to call it, and they're basically saying the whole purpose of making all of these is not basically from an aggressive stance. But they're saying we're building these because Turkey needs a strong military for all the threats it faces. But also, more interesting, they're saying that it needs it for strategic autonomy, not to be dependent for its military and defensive procurements on any one nation, specifically the United States. But if you listen to Turkey's regional neighbors and neighbors, they will say to you, well, that's great, but all these weapons and offensive capabilities are being stationed and positioned in places where they're within striking distance. And if you pair those weapons and where they're stationed with Erdogan's continuously building escalatory language against the Greeks, the Israelis, and whatever, that means that the Turks aren't necessarily satisfied with what they have, but they have revisionist intentions towards these territories or these former Ottoman territories. And the Turkish, intends to essentially expand upon these, and it could come, at some untold point in the future. And there, and again, these warning signs largely fall on deaf ears, as much as the Israelis, the Greeks, and the Cypriots sort of, raise alarm bells constantly. Right now, not many other people in the West are paying attention to them.
I'm speaking with Sinan Chitty of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.